हरिः ॐ श्रीवासरि गौरभक्तवृन्द हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे
Okay. It's 76. After saying this, Narada departed through the airways, and by taking the Rishi's instructions to heart, Yudhishthira was able to free himself from all lamentation. As already described in question 19 of Srimad Bhagavatam, Yudhishthira wishes to know why his uncle Vidura and Dhritarashtra and his aunt Gandhari suddenly vacated Hastinapura. The philosophical significance of Narada's answer follows in three parts, summarized from Srila Prabhupada's purport, as indicated. One should use his intelligence to seek liberation, not for seeking happiness or avoiding distress. For the Lord only can be free, only can free one from the distress that is coming from karma. Therefore, no one should be actually dependent on us. Rather, they are dependent on the Lord. And by depending on the Lord and following the regulations of Krishna consciousness, one's suffering can gradually be mitigated. 41, purport to 47. So here we're seeing, in here, these two aspects of the intelligence is used to free oneself from material entanglement. In other words, to get back to the spiritual world, not for how to be happy here or how to get away from distress. You know what I'm saying? Those come automatically if you're performing your activities for freeing oneself from the material world, for liberation. Right? Does that make sense? One always has to know what's included in what. Just like artha is included in dharma. If you're doing dharma, artha will be there. If there's artha, then there can be karma. Does that make sense? So you don't have to separately endeavor for karma. You have to endeavor for dharma. Automatically, artha and karma come. Right? Same way, if you're endeavoring for liberation, then that is actually going to make one happy, not the material, arrangements. And it will free you from distress, not separately endeavoring for freeing yourself from distress. Does that make sense? So in other words, if it's not connected to Krishna, it's not important, basically. Yes?
Can we say that dharma is included in moksha, the real moksha?
Means if you're performing moksha properly, then you're performing your dharma. Right? Means if you're seeing it in relationship to bhakti, then it will have a more complete understanding. Because bhakti includes everything else. Because to get moksha, you have to actually be performing your dharma. You can't perform, sinful activities or whimsical activities and get liberation. And generally you see those who are interested in dharma are quite religious. Mm-hmm. So it works nicely. But it will become dry unless there's devotional service. If the Vaishnavas, because you're endeavoring for bhakti, that frees you from the material world. So technically, you don't even have to endeavor for liberation. So here, liberation means establishing your relationship with the Lord. So in other words, it means bhakti. So here, by using that term, we understand it by engaging in devotional service. Right? Like that, yeah. The other point is that no one is actually dependent upon us. Right, we see that was the problem here. Yudhishthira had the same problem that Jara Bharat was mentioning. You know, Bharat Maharaj was talking about the dependency that the deer had upon him. Right? And Yudhishthira also said the same, is that his aunt and uncle, you know, then they're old and like this, so they're dependent. Not from the proud thing, from the duty, point of duty, they're saying. But actually, everyone's dependent upon the Lord. We can only be an instrument in that. Right? So in other words, we do our duty. Like a parent does their duty, takes care of the children. It's because their duty, not because without me, then they won't, you know, they won't survive. Does that make sense? Because that attitude will be a problem. It develops nice sentiments, but then the difficulty comes is that we think we're the doer, so if anything goes wrong, then it's a problem. Right? Because we're not. So here it's that sense of duty, and then along with doing that, naturally you get the taste of the interaction. But it's not that you're performing the activity for that interaction, because if that's there, if the interaction isn't coming, we may give up that duty. So many things. Right. So, therefore, by depending upon the Lord, then everyone's sufferings will go away. Because if you're depending upon the Lord, then you're engaged in devotional service, automatically then the material sufferings go away, because material sufferings are created because of being separated from Krishna. Right. Yes?
Well, actually, in this case, Yudhishthira Maharaj, he followed his duty, and Dhritarashtra, he apparently wasn't following his duty, but Yudhishthira Maharaj wasn't disturbed by this. He just followed his duty.
Yes,
he wouldn't mind.
Yes, that's the actual... If you really want to get benefit, that's what you have to do. Nowadays, it's kind of like, well, if they're not doing, I won't do. Which is fair enough on the shorter circle. On the shorter circle, it's okay. But the difficulty comes is that then you don't get the benefit from having performed your duty. Because the point is I'm saying, why should I do my duty towards them as if they're the ones getting the benefit? You perform your duty, you're the one that gets benefit. Because the other person, if according to the modes of nature, they're supposed to get benefit, they'll get anyway, whether you give it or not. Someone else will give it. So it's not that, you understand what's happening? Because I'm thinking, I'm the cause of the other's happiness or distress. So they upset me, so therefore I won't deal nice, you know, with them. Therefore they'll be in distress. I'm the cause of that. No, they're just supposed to get it. You happen to be the instrument. Because they may get distress because they're due it. But then you get the benefit of having given them distress, not from doing your duties. Now, let's say they're supposed to get benefit. So, therefore you don't benefit them, but someone else will. And then you'll be frustrated. Oh, don't they understand? Yes. This guy's a nonsense. Why is he getting benefit? But we think we're the controller, we're the actual one that's giving shelter or not giving shelter. So that's the point that Narad Muni's pointing out here, is only the Lord is giving shelter, because that's, right? We've established this, that the Lord is sustaining the devotees, right? So poshanam. So the next thing to establish is ashraya, that it's therefore he's nourishing because he is the actual shelter. Not just, you know, that's part of, okay, I'm making my arrangements, you know, I got friends, I got contacts, I got prayers to the Lord, you know, hey, I'm covered. You know? It's a matter of, no, the Lord takes care because he's the shelter. No one else is actually the shelter. So then it comes down to its duties. And for us, that it seems, oh, so boring. But the point is the duties are through which the pastimes are performed. Right? How do the cowherd boys and Krishna have fun out in the fields? Why are they out there having fun? Because they're taking the cows out. That's their duty. Right? That's how Krishna actually gets Mother Yashoda to let him go out into the field. Right? Well, at least he tries that. You know, we're Vaishyas, it's our business to herd cows. So therefore it's our dharma. If we don't do our dharma, that will be sinful. But generally ladies are religious, right? So then it should work, right? But then she says, fine, let Nanda Baba take the cows out. You stay home. Right? So then Balaram has to say, no, we'll take care and everything like that. You know, so they all have their swords and shields and bows and arrows and all that. We'll take care of that. You understand? Does that make sense? Yeah. So it's through duties that rasa is tasted. Now the focus is on the duties, in Dwarka, right? But the focus is on not on the duties, but just on pleasing Krishna only. Right? Duties are performed, but they become very much secondary. Well, then, when you're worshipping in majesty, then they're more prominent. Does that make sense? Yeah. But this element of duties is very, very important. Nowadays, people think it's about freedoms, not about duty. It's just about freedom. That's all they talk about. I was looking at something that Daytona had written about their project and their plan and their own personal development and everything like that. And I noticed that it's nicely done, nicely thought out, but the main thing about it is the wording. They just use fancy wording and it makes you feel good. That's all. By reading it, you feel good. Yes, this is a good plan. But according to Niti, that's not a good plan. Yes.
So, Maharaj, on this platform, in our relations with others, we should put forward the duties and no sentiment, no...
It's not a matter of no sentiment. It's a matter of sentiment is there, but based on duties, it's fine. But sentiment based not on duties, that's what you want to avoid. Right? But these duties here, what we're saying, duties means Krishna consciousness. It's what is our duty within Krishna consciousness. So, in other words, we're trying to do it to please Krishna. But what are you doing to please Krishna? You're performing your duties to please Krishna. Now, performing your duties, naturally, that will make everybody else happy. Right? So, in other words, there's a few steps here, but we generally get lost in these steps. You know, if you're doing duty, then it's dry, it's boring. No, I don't want that. I came to Krishna consciousness for this and that. Yeah, I mean, this was a class about a year and a half ago. That was the response. You know what I'm saying? So there's this idea that duty means dry, boring, I don't want to do it, I'm forcing myself to do it, because that is the way it is in the West. It's about freedom. Finished. It's not about what their obligations are, right? American Constitution, any obligations? No, it's just rights. Right? And an international bill of rights. Have you ever seen a, you know, bill of obligations? Right? It doesn't exist, not in the Western world. The concept is not there in the New World. The New World, it never made it across the ocean. In the Old World, yes, but the New World, no. Right? So if it is there, it's brought from the Old World. So people who identify with that, they do. But those who identify with the New World, there is no sense of duty.
So if we sympathize, how should our attitude be towards others so we don't put ourselves in Krishna's position?
Yes. It means the point is that we empathize, but it's Krishna who will take care. So if it's our duty, we get involved in it. Like, he's done his duty. Right? He's done his duty. So that's fine. The problem is that the sentiment is not quite right. So Yudhishthira is doing his duty, but he's thinking he's the maintainer rather than Krishna. Right? And then that's why Narad Muni then made the points exactly that he made. Because he didn't ask him about them. But he knew that if I say that, you know, where they, you know, that they went out, he'll try to go get them. Right? But then they're going to be leaving. So then that leaves Gandhari. But then she's going to leave with her husband. Okay, so that leaves Vidura. No, he's going to leave and go out on pilgrimage. So he has to go through all these different things. Or, yes, okay, he died, so then let me go and perform the cremation, right? No, he's already done that by the fire of his meditation. So there's nothing there. You don't have to worry about it. It's taken care of. So, in other words, his sense of duty is strong, but it's not being seen in connection with the Lord. Does that make sense? Because there's so much emphasis on perform your duty, that then there has to be a clause that shows that even that's not enough. It has to be done for Krishna. Because if we just say bhakti, then we drop the duties. If we say duties, we drop the bhakti and the sentiment. You know what I'm saying? Because bhakti has rasa, the material life has rasa. And so for many, then duties means no rasa. It's like impersonalism or something. you know, it's strange, but it's the sense of duty that creates rasa. But the Western concept of rasa means that it's about the senses, not about emotions. It means if you're talking about country, you know, if we bring up, yes, you know, he gave his life for his country, it was a good cause, or, you know, let's say, you know, there's a fire and the person, you know, there was somebody left inside, they ran inside to save them, then we'll think, yes, this is good. But other than those kind of extreme life and death, the concept of duties generates rasa, it just doesn't exist. It's just not there. You know, and even these things of duty and that, it's like, you know, do they televise, you know, every year the raising of the flag at Iwo Jima and stuff, you know, like that. Do they still do that? Or, you know, all the guys are dead now, so, you know, or they're in wheelchairs. But, you know what I'm saying? Before it was like a yearly thing, you know, every year you have the something and there's some kind of, but you don't hear of it anymore, really. You know what I'm saying? So it's just fading away. So we have these steps that you have to get from just sentiment to duties. But duties have to be to please the Lord. That's the whole point. So in other words, when we say perform your duties, in the proper understanding, you know, where the philosophy is properly applied, that means sad-dharma. That means you're performing your duties to please Krishna. So sad-dharma means I'm doing my duties that please Krishna. And I'm pleasing Krishna through the medium of my duties. So it's not about the duties, it's about pleasing Krishna. That's sad-dharma. When we talk about dharma, then it may be mixed. Right? But for Vaishnavas, when they hear dharma, that means that. Like if we say happiness, the devotee was very happy, what do we think? It was just that it was materially great, he won the lottery or something. Huh? Yes, it means he's happy in his service. Does that make sense? So it's a matter of getting used to how the terminologies are used, but also just how the system functions. So anything in between, because we take it for granted. So here's Yudhishthira who does his duties perfectly, it's not enough. You know, and it's all this nice compassion. Bharat Maharaj, you don't get more compassionate than that. But it's still not enough. Because it's on the material platform. It has to go to the spiritual platform. Does that make sense? That's the hope, yes.
This means the sannyas mentality is not there.
Yes, it's not there. Because we think we're the doer rather than the instrument. So he thinks, I am the subject, and in this case, you know, the deer is the object, or I'm the subject, and Dhritarashtra and Gandhari are the object. And so I am the one that's, you know, helping them, benefiting them, you know, out of a sense of duty, out of, you know, sincerity, not out of a selfish, you know, motive. But at the same time, it's still, no, Krishna is the subject. The other person is the object, we're the instrument. Mm-hmm. So in other words, in devotional service, it's always about Krishna and the devotees. We're only assisting in that. It's never about us, we're doing all these things. See, so does that make sense? So in other words, it sounds great. He's doing his duties, what's the problem? Or he has that nice affection for his uncle and aunt. What's the problem? You know, Krishna is so dry, don't we care about this? What about the people? What about, you know, feelings? That's the problem in this movement. But the whole point is yes, but then who's in control of these? What position does that put you in? It puts you in the position of God. In other words, we're assistant to those. That we don't want to be. I'm going to be compassionate as long as I'm the one that's compassionate. I get the benefit of showing the compassion. Rather than Krishna's compassionate using me as an instrument. It's a whole different headspace. Because as soon as, if it's like, you have to be compassionate, we have to be kind, we have to be nice, then everyone goes, yes, yes, yes. We go, we have to assist Krishna in this. He's being the compassionate one. We simply assist by performing our duties. You get this nice blank look. Kind of like, yeah, okay. It's kind of like, when's breakfast? You know, it just doesn't... is today a promise? Yeah. It's just like, yeah. Now what do I do for my pizza? You know? Does that make sense? So that's the thing, is you always notice when it puts it into this neutral state, that's where we start to freak out.
Yeah.
And the fun part is the neutral state, that is us. That's our self-realization. Figure out who the self is. The self is the jiva, jiva is tatastha shakti. It's in the neutral position. So we're used to, okay, neutral has moved into dynamic materialism. No, you're supposed to move it into dynamic spiritual. That's the thing. So you're trying to switch from one to the other. We talk to one, we do it like the other. So it means if it goes nicely, that's fine. Like the gopis, they're attracted, you know, as girls they would be attracted to boys, they're attracted to Krishna, it works perfectly. Right? But they're not going to, of course, not going to be attracted to the local boys, but it's just the same thing. They don't have to make any adjustments. As long as it works that smoothly, Krishna says that's the first recommendation anyway. Right? The natural thing is to love Krishna. Just do it. Right? If that's not going to happen, then you follow the regulations and these other things. So then you have the element of bringing it to neutral so you can put it into positive. But now it's spiritual positive. That makes sense. Yeah, so we have to be very, very. Means this is, these are subtle points because we're trying to clear the environment of what is pure devotional service. So then, when we hear Sukadeva Goswami speak, then we'll get, you know, the best benefit. Yes.
When we hear Subhad Maharaj and the Deer, what's his duty there?
It means he's taking care, but the problem is he thought, like Yudhishthir, I am the cause, I am the one who's benefiting. I am the mother, I am the father, I am his friend. Like that, without me, no. It's Krishna's the mother, Krishna's the father, Krishna's the friend, Krishna's the maintainer. I simply try to take care. I simply assist in that. You understand? So it's not that it would change. You know, it's natural. He finds a deer that the mother just died and this and that. You take care of it. But you don't put yourself in that as the subject. Right? Krishna's the subject. Right? Rupa Goswami mentions the nectar devotion. Krishna's the supreme subject. Right? Radharani's the supreme object. Like that. We are assistants. We're instrumental. Right? Now, sometimes you also hear just on the side, is they'll say, Krishna is the supreme object of our, you know, as goals or our affection and like that. Yes. But in action, it's Krishna who's the subject, the devotees are the object. Does that make sense? Mm-hmm. So otherwise, the term gets used in both places. Like that. Because I don't know, probably in Sanskrit it has different terms, but in English it doesn't. Right? Okay. Okay, two. One should look into the mission of the Lord, which is to remove the harassment of the devotees and mass of people by the demoniac and reclaim the fallen souls. And one should not be disturbed by the affairs of so-called happiness and distress. Right. So the mission, as we see, is to spread the Harinam Sankirtan. That will remove the harassment of the mass of devotees. By means in this age, it's not about getting rid of the demoniac. It's about converting the demoniac, right? Like we meant, I think Chuttananda used to quote this. I'm not sure. It's from one of the Puranas. He said, in the Satyayuga, then the demons and the devotees were on, you know, the demigod and the demons were on different planetary systems. You know, it's like Indra's in his place and Bali Maharaj is in Sutala, right? So it's obvious, right? Then in Treta Yuga, they're in different continents. Same planet, different continents. So, you know, Ramachandra's in Bharat, and Ravana is in, how do you say? Lanka, or Kumbhakarna's down in Brazil, or, you know, it's like that, some other place, right? Like that. So then you said in Dwapara Yuga, they're in separate families. So you have the Kauravas and the Pandavas. But in Kali Yuga, they're in the same body. You understand? So that's Nityananda Prabhu's point. If you're going to kill Jagai Madai, you know, on principle, then you got to kill everybody, because everybody has that demoniac mentality. Otherwise, why did Lord Chaitanya have to come? Advaitacharya would have already saved them. Right? You know what I'm saying? So here, then, it's about reclaiming the fallen souls. So that is it. So The mission of the Lord is to reclaim the fallen souls. And in doing so, in taking part in the mission to reclaim the fallen souls, one should not be disturbed by the affairs of so-called happiness and distress. Because they're not actually, you know, one situation for something makes them happy, same situation later makes them unhappy. You know? Like Midas, you know, when he first got the touch, he was really happy. You know? But after a while, he was not as happy. Did he ever try wearing gloves? He never tried wearing gloves. That might have worked. But.
They would have turned to gold as soon as he touched
them. But what about his clothes? Did he have gold clothes on? Yeah, so I think it's impersonally. So I think he probably could have worn gloves. Now, just whether the gloves would have worked. Or now the gloves, because they didn't, now they become like him, and so whatever he touched was But like that, you know, it's everything. That's the problem in the material world. Three. Although the purpose of practicing the sitting postures in yoga is to become free from the modes, this freedom is most easily accomplished by engaging the senses in Krishna's service, wherein one can get free from the modes. This will occur when one practices devotional service without offending Vaishnavas, associates with potent sadhus, is pious, and follows the footsteps of Narad Muni. Okay, we see the significance here? So if we follow back here. Okay, so now, the yoga system will get one freed from the modes of nature, right? And therefore get liberation. But that's all most easily accomplished through devotional service. So that means when one practices devotional service without offending Vaishnavas, right, associates with potent sadhus, is pious and follows the footsteps of Narad Muni. Okay, Yudhishthira Maharaj is doing that. Who is not doing that?
Dhritarashtra.
Right? So therefore, he has to do the sitting postures and all that, because he can't get freed from the modes of nature and get liberated through devotional service because he offends Vaishnavas. Right? He doesn't really follow in the footsteps of Narad Muni. He's come there and told them what to do. They don't care. You know, the potent sadhus, they come there, I think it was maybe Maitreya or Markandeya, one of them comes, and Duryodhana insults him. So it wasn't just Bhima, you know, cursed him about the thigh thing. Also this sadhu, also, he cursed him. So, you know. Therefore, I guess he ended up getting both thighs broken. Like that. Does that make sense? So, in other words, the devotee gets the same benefit in an easy way by taking part in the devotional service in association with devotees. You know, the senior Vaishnavas is pious. You know, in other words, pious means he's engaged in devotional service. Right? And follows in the footsteps of Narad Muni, and that pure devotional service. Right? So Narad Muni, we will see when we already saw that he preaches pure bhakti and Pancharatra. Right? These are the two things he preaches. Because the Pancharatric system is very good as a lifestyle to engage in pure devotional service, to maintain purity. Okay, so that ends this, okay.
So Maharaj, is why in the Gita also it is explained about Ashtanga Yoga. It's the same principle.
Yes, it's because otherwise, see, is someone may not appreciate how the one goes into the other. Yes. Right? So the idea is that just like Jiva Goswami does, you establish one point and then you introduce the next point.
Yes.
Show the connection, you know, establish it and everything, show the connection, and then when they're comfortable with it, they move to the next. So it's like the inchworm.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Now, how does the inchworm work? It's got its foot, let's say, on position A. It moves the front one to B. Then when B is solid, then it moves the back foot to B also, so both feet are in B. Then it moves the front foot to C.
Mm-hmm.
So that's how, you know, that makes it everything very nice. It's very nicely covered. You understand? So then it's logic, it makes sense, it moves through. So we don't necessarily catch it that it's a good presentation.
Mm-hmm.
right? Because logic is your natural thing. Rhetoric is not for presenting. Rhetoric is used to establish what would be the best technique of logic to use to convince the person, right? Because you want to establish siddhanta. Most people use rhetoric just to win the argument.
Yes.
You know, so that's a waste of time. Right? So here is that they're showing. So that's why this doesn't necessarily catch our attention, because we're not used to logic. We're used to rhetoric. Even if people talk about logic, it's not that logical. Something logical, but it's not, because their premise is wrong. So how will it be logical? Right. So, yeah. Okay, now going to the next chapter 14.
Maharaj, about the essay question, you know, I have some difficulty to understand. That is the question.
That means then, talk to Pandavidji.
Yes,
sir. See, part of the question is, do you understand the question? Very clever. Okay, so chapter 14 and chapter 15. So disappearance of Lord Krishna. Okay. Chapter 14, Pratigya. Srimad Bhagavatam 1.14.21. Maharaj Yudhishthira said, I think that all these earthly disturbances indicate some greater loss to the good fortune of the world. The world is fortunate to have been marked with the footprints of the lotus feet of the Lord. These signs indicate that this will no longer be. Right. So, in other words, the essential point is the loss of Krishna's association. That he's here, that one gets that association. That's what's lost. Chapter 14 summarizes questions and answers. Question 20 of Srimad Bhagavatam is asked by Yudhishthira of Arjuna. There are three parts. Question, how you say it? Question 21. Oh, question 20. I was somehow trying to put the one in there. Question 21. And then I said, what's the part? Okay. Since Arjuna had come from Dwarka, Yudhishthira asked after the welfare of Lord Krishna, his family, and the Yadu dynasty, 25 to 38. Question 20, part 2. Receiving no answer from Arjuna, Yudhishthira then anxiously inquired about his brother's welfare. The king expresses concern that his brother's loss of luster may be due to discrepancies in the execution of his kshatriya duties. 39.43. Question 20, part 3. Finally, Yudhishthira asked, or is it that you are feeling empty for all time because you might have lost your most intimate friend, Lord Krishna? 44. Answer. Question 20 is answered by Arjuna in the next chapter. Adhyaya Prakashika. In the 14th chapter, Yudhishthira understands the meaning of the inauspicious signs when he sees that Arjuna arrives in distress. Arjuna's return to Hastinapur is past due. And Maharaj Yudhishthira, after noticing inauspicious signs, reveals to Bhimasena his fears that Lord Krishna, whom the Pandavas completely depended upon, has departed from this earth. Yudhishthira elaborates for Bhimasena the omens he has observed and concludes that Krishna's footprints will no longer grace this earth. Yes. Arjuna suddenly returns from Dwarka, and Yudhishthira, in anxiety, questions him about the welfare of the others. Yudhishthira's questions turn to the reason for Arjuna's dejected countenance. Yudhishthira concludes that the only possible cause for heroic Arjuna's depression is Lord Krishna's disappearance. Shlokana Sharana. Summary verses. Verses 1 to 21. Maharaj Yudhishthira notices inauspicious signs. And verses 22 to 44. Arjuna returns and Yudhishthira questions him about the welfare of the Yadus. Verses 1 to 21. Maharaj Yudhishthira notices inauspicious signs. In this section, Maharaj Yudhishthira, after noticing inauspicious signs, reveals to Bhimasena's fears that Lord Krishna, whom the Pandavas completely depend upon, has departed from this earth. Okay. Suta Goswami relates that Arjuna departed Hastinapur for Dwarka. His intention was to visit Sri Krishna and the Yadus to find out about the Yadus' future programs of action. Several months passed without Arjuna's return. Maharaj Yudhishthira then noticed many inauspicious omens. He took them as indications of a change in the direction of eternal time. This caused fear to penetrate his heart. He saw disturbances in the seasonal irregularities and noticed the people in general had become proud, greedy, angry, and deceitful. Many citizens in his kingdom had taken up abominable means of livelihood. Ordinary transactions were polluted with cheating, even among friends. There was a constant strain of misunderstanding between husband and wife, parents and children, as well as between brothers and well-wishers. Text 1 to 4. In his purports to verse 1 to 4, Srila Prabhupada elaborates on the cause and symptoms of Kali Yuga. When civilization is disconnected from the loving relation of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, symptoms like changes of seasonal regulations, foul means of livelihood, greed, anger, and fraudulence becomes rampant. The change of seasonal regulations refers to one season's atmosphere becoming manifest in another season. For example, the rainy seasons being transferred to autumn, or the fructification of fruits and flowers from one season to another, like we just saw this last, just recently, the rainy season moving into the autumn. It just kept going. It didn't really rain much before. A godless man is invariably greedy, angry, and fraudulent. Such a man can earn his livelihood by any means, black or white. So that's that meaning of the doesn't care. Right? Foul means of livelihood implies deviation from one's occupational duty. There are prescribed duties for everyone, such as Brahmana, Kshatriya, Vaishya, and Shudra. But anyone who deviates from his prescribed duty and declares another's duty to be his own is following a foul and improper duty. A man becomes too greedy for wealth and power when he has no higher objective in life, and when he thinks that this earthly life of few years is all in all. Ignorance is the cause of all these anomalies in human society, and to remove this ignorance, especially in this age of degradation, the powerful sun is there to distribute light in the shape of Srimad Bhagavatam. Right? So we have... Okay. Changing sides here. Huh? I thought you were going to say, yeah, so greedy this, what do you want? Yeah. So we see here is that it's saying in Kali Yuga, yes, these things will happen, but the quote to say it's Kali Yuga, therefore, you know, what's the problem? Then that's not exactly correct. You can't use it as an excuse. Right? The point is that why is it coming? Why is this mentioned here? Krishna's departed, therefore these symptoms come. So even he's here, people aren't necessarily that Krishna conscious, but just that proximity, that the element like this, then it makes things so much better. So now when Krishna leaves, these things come up. So what does that mean? You add Krishna, then these problems go away. And so that light is the Srimad Bhagavatam, right? That was the sage's point. Then Krishna's departure, then where will everyone turn? So it's Srimad Bhagavatam. So that Bhagavatam, that's what we're looking for. Does that make sense? So one has to be very, very careful about, oh, it's Kali Yuga, so what can we do? Yes, what we can do is take shelter of Bhagavatam, right? And perform the duties there, because it's a matter of ignorance, right? Because here it says people want to do others' duties because of the benefits they'll get. And like sometimes it's said, you know, why only they should get the prestige of giving classes and, oh, all that facility and people care about them. So then what's the desire for those activities? It's greed. Yes. Right? It's not actually, this is my duty. You understand? But somehow they use nice wording and everyone will say, yes, this is progressive. But progressive promise is progressing which direction, that's all. Yeah, progressive you must say. Modern society is progressive, you must admit that. It's just which way, like that. And it's also just a matter of the quality of bucket you move with, that's all.
There is only two ways.
There's only two ways. It's either towards Krishna or away from Krishna. There's not a third way.
Maharaj, can we say that if we live in a temple or near a temple, we can get the same advantage as when Krishna was there?
Yes, you could, as long as you're a little bit aware of that. But definitely, wherever the deities are, there's effect. Like that. People may not know it, but there's effect. Yes. Everything becomes prosperous. Like wherever the temple is, that area will become very prosperous. So that means everybody's getting benefit, things are working. How will they become prosperous unless there's some piety? So they start to do things right, they get something like that.
Yesterday was telling me, in Bombay, what's the temple there?
Yes.
That was not a very...
Which one? It means Juhu.
No,
it was way out of town.
And now it's happening in Jaipur as well. There's the temples there and people are coming.
Yes, same with Calcutta. Like the area where the temple is, then that's kind of like the main scene there. Well, before that was, it was just a residential area. It was nothing major. Bhubaneswar, the only thing out there was anthills. I mean, that was it. There was Gorgovindama Swami and anthills. That was it. And the National Highway, of course. Don't want to leave them out. That was it. Now it's like the center of town. So it's always like that. Yeah, I remember in looking over the wall in the 70s in Bombay, and the guy next door was farming, the water through the fields and doing this whole thing. Now as they sell it by, you get out the tweezers, we'll give you this much land and that will cost you. Yeah. Just like that. But in those days, it was just farmland.
Mark?
Yes.
So all those signs, it seems like every day we see a lot of inauspicious signs.
Yes.
And people try to interpret them. So how should we take them?
Not so good. It doesn't have to. I mean, what do you mean by interpret?
Like people getting like, I saw this and I thought that I can get out of my house, I can't do this, I can't do that.
And so what's their alternative? You can't get out of the house, so what are they going to do?
They just sit them there.
But do they take shelter of Srimad Bhagavatam?
Not sure.
That's the whole point. Instead of walking around and gossiping, sit in your house, chant some japa, read Bhagavatam. Yeah. If they really want to take advantage of the thing. So the point is technically, these are the symptoms that are there. But at the same time, there's two levels of those symptoms, right? Means one is that those are what the material world is doing, but at the same time, the Dham is not involved in that. So if they're here in Mayapur, what does that mean, inauspicious? Inauspicious for what? Auspicious means it gets some pious result. So what pious result are they looking for? Because they don't apply to bhakti. You know what I'm saying? Because the point is, let's say you're going to do some service and you have that intent to do that service. So you go there. But then you see a sign that would say that service, there won't be any fruit. But the point is your endeavor, you still get the devotional benefit from having made that endeavor. You know what I'm saying? So technically, what's inauspicious? Now, if you know that by going at, let's say going at one time as opposed to another, then there's more chance of getting benefit. The only point of using that is that then the benefit's for Krishna. Right? So let's say if I go at this time of day, I'll have less obstacles for doing the service than at another time. Then it's only because of the service. Because the other way, it's not that the omens make it happen. That's also a mistake. If I go and I see the omen, I'm thinking the omen is making it happen. The omen's only telling you what's going on. Does that make sense? So it's not that you can do something else, turn around three times, or, how you say? Click your heels, or, do something, like that. Point your shoulder. Different things that'll make it go away. All it is, it's just how you say? If you open your refrigerator and you look in the bottle of drink and it's half empty, right? It's not that by blowing on your shoulder or doing anything it'll fill up. No, it's like going down to the shop and getting another one, then it fills up. Is that so? Is that something? So, so all this, these things, because it says if you run your whole life by these astrological things, then you're a fool. Because you'll never get anything done. Because depending upon, see, it's whatever you get into detail. And the more you get into detail, the more you can find. You know? Plus, at the same time, is in getting into it, you're looking for something that's inauspicious. And so you can always interpret something as inauspicious, but you could also possibly interpret it as auspicious. You know, it's just a matter of what your context is. So that's the whole difficulty. Yeah. So these are just symptoms. So understanding these symptoms, they surrender to the Lord. You know, if you're going to Mangal Arati or this or that, then it's just standard stuff. You know, what can you do? Yeah, so I wouldn't worry about it too much. It just lets you know what's going on. Like that.
Okay. When the devotees were doing like 12 hours of Harinam a day, Harinam Sankirtan, then even if the police, if it wasn't inauspicious, you know, so it's just like continue, you know, put back the, you know, independent.
Yeah. It just means, okay, we've done enough on this street, let's go to the next one. You know, or you've been in this part of town, let's go across town to the other side.
Yeah.
In the conditioned state, the living being is not satisfied even if he actually becomes the lord of all he surveys, which he never becomes, and therefore he becomes the victim of all kinds of cheating, even with his nearest and most intimate relations. In such an unsatisfactory state of affairs, there is no harmony, even between father and sons or between husband and wife. Such a, right, because in other words, as you turn from Krishna, it goes more into the material, then all these problems come up. The more it goes towards Krishna, the less these come up. Right? So everything starts with its connection to Krishna. And then the more it gets away, the more it falls apart. Right? So even when we're talking about piety means it'll go fairly nicely. But we only hear it's going really well when, you know, everyone performs their duties in connection with the Lord. That's when it works the best. Yes.
So when we are close to Krishna or try to be Krishna conscious, we need to satisfaction must be there. Personal satisfaction.
Yes. That's what Manu is mentioning, is one must be satisfied. So one has to arrange it in such a way that you find the situation that you are satisfied. But it must be based on authority.
Yes.
Otherwise, then anything else other than that, you can't be satisfied. It's not that, well, I can try to find a satisfactory solution in Krishna consciousness or one that's not in Krishna consciousness. There doesn't exist, like he says. Even if he becomes the lord of all he surveys, he'll never become happy. But he can't even do that. He'll never become the lord of all you survey. So in other words, there's no chance of it. But people will think, yes, I will become happy. Mm-hmm. So that's the difficulty. Mm-hmm. Such a pious king as Maharaj Yudhishthira at once became perturbed when there were such inhuman symptoms as greed, anger, irreligiosity, and hypocrisy rampant in society. It appears from this statement that all these symptoms of degraded society were unknown to the people of the time, and it was astonishing for them to have experienced them with the advent of the Kali Yuga, or the Age of Quarrel. Seeing all this, Maharaj Yudhishthira anxiously said to his younger brother, Bhima, "Under my order, Arjuna went to Dwarka. Now 7 months have passed. Could it be, just as Narada predicted, that Lord Krishna is about to disappear from the earth?" As Narada Muni had indicated it. He didn't say specifically. In his purport to verse 8, Srila Prabhupada explains the mystery of the appearance and disappearance of the Lord. As we have discussed many times, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Lord Sri Krishna, has many plenary expansions, and each and every one of them, although equally powerful, executes different functions. Right? That's the point, is that we generally look at they're different, not that it's different functions, but they're equally powerful, but different functions. Right? So in doing the different function, then there's only so much of the potency that needs to be manifest. Therefore, we say the vilas, you know, or the amsha, and so all these different things. In Bhagavad Gita, there are different statements by the Lord, and each of these statements is meant for different plenary portions or portions of the plenary portions. For example, Sri Krishna, the Lord, says in Bhagavad Gita, whenever, wherever there's a decline in religious practice, O descendant of Bharata, and a rise of irreligion, at that time I descend myself. To deliver the faithful, to annihilate the miscreants, and also to re-establish the principles of occupational duty, I appear in every age. If I would cease to work, then all humanity would be misdirected. I would also be the cause of creating unwanted population, and I would thereby destroy the peace of all sentient beings. Whatever action a great man performs, common men will follow. And whatever standards he sets by exemplary acts, all the world pursues. These were all in the purport. So it's this purport. Somehow I thought it was second canto. These four go to our Sankarshan, Pujumna, Adiudra, and Vasudev. That's what establishing.
Can you show them?
Means Sankarshan's the first one. Like that. And the last one is Aniruddha. Right? Like that. I know of them. The second one is Vasudev. The next one is, what do you call it?
Prajumna.
Like that. There's something there that probably gives it. He gives indication. He doesn't say all four of them. Like that. But from that, yeah. Can catch.
Mars.
Are we stuck with this purport in the second canto? Yes.
Mars, souls, they take birth in Kali Yuga because they want to face the predominant rise of their religion.
Potato. Yes, you know, you put enough butter and sour cream that it's not so bad.
Okay.
Does that make sense? Means the point is their desire and how they want to interact and everything is of a more degraded quality. Therefore, this is the age for them. Because if you like being pious, this is not a great age for them. And if you like being impious, the other ages aren't so great for that. So everybody's situated according to their age. So, yes, and so just whatever it is, you just keep appearing in that time. It's not that you go through all these four ages one after another, it's just going. You know, this idea is that human being now and then just immediately next year, you know, like I was now and then, you know, so many years ago I was another, and then like this, they go back. These may be progression, may or may not be, but it doesn't necessarily mean this time around. It could be last Kali Yuga. Or a Kali Yuga in another place, or, you know what I'm saying, all these different things. So, it's just a matter of, it's just a range that the living entity gets what he requires. Like that. So in this age, in one sense, of the most unfortunate because of the age, but in another sense, of the most fortunate because of the mission of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So the process is the easiest, but the general qualifications of the individuals are the least. So, but it'll work out. You know, in other words, you only have 100 years, so you have to be able to work it out. Satyuga have 100,000 years. So if you spend 10,000 or 60,000 in meditation, you know, it still leaves you, you know, 40,000 years. Not bad, right? But in this age, you have 100 years. So it has to be a much more powerful, quicker system. You just have to stick with it. All the above statements by the Lord apply to different plenary portions of the Lord, namely his expansions such as Sankarshan, Vasudeva, Prajumna, Aniruddha, and Narayana. These are all he himself in different transcendental expansions, and still the Lord as Sri Krishna functions in a different sphere of transcendental exchange with different grades of devotees. So we see basically here we're talking about flavor difference. That's what makes the difference in here is the mood. That's why I said there's a mood difference. When there's no mood difference, then the form is the same. Then that was the, what did we say? That was the vilas. No, not vilas, it was prakash. Right? Prakash means it's the Same. Right? Like that. But here, all these, then these expansions, then these are vilas, so there's difference in mood. Yes?
The order of the names of the Chatra Vyuha there is the same as what we said for the verses.
Oh, okay. Yeah. I know in here it says, because the last one is he's the goal, so that's there. And he comes to establish, comes to establish what's the proper religious thing. So those two are directly obvious. The prajumna is that attraction, you know, like that. So then the thing is, if I should cease to work, all humanity would miss me, because they'd be attracted to that. You know, that's the thing. And then I prepare, I appear, the principles of occupational duty. So generally that's what Vasudev does. He performs his duties, he does everything nicely. Like that. Because the thing is in Prajumna, because you're dealing with intelligence, he's the Lord of intelligence. But for Abhideya, you also have to apply with intelligence. So then you're going to see this element of the field with intelligence. So you're going to see the two together. Like that. You could also take it the other way, is that this is part of Sambandha. You know, so he's appeared to do that. And then you have Vasudeva. So based on that, so it could be in that natural order also. So the first two are Sambandha, then Abhideya and Prayojana. But it, you know, and that. It's just how Prabhupada puts it together. Just which aspect you're going to bring out. These are all he himself in different transcendental expansions, and still the Lord as Sri Krishna functions in a different sphere of transcendental exchange with different grades of devotees. And yet Lord Krishna, as he appears once every 24 hours of Brahma's time, or after a lapse of 8,640,000,000 solar years in each and every universe, and all his transcendental pastimes are displayed in each and every universe in a routine spool. But in that routine spool, the functions of Lord Krishna, Lord Vasudev, etc., are complex problems for the layman. There is no difference between the Lord's self and the Lord's transcendental body. The expansions execute differential activities. When the Lord, however, appears in his person as Lord Sri Krishna, his other plenary portions also join in him by his inconceivable potency called Yoga Maya. And thus the Lord of Vrindavan is different from the Lord Krishna of Mathura or the Lord Krishna of Dwarka. So getting this moves when he comes. That's why with Krishna, then the four different aspects of the personality are considered just him, right? But in others, they take on one of those moods. That becomes the prominent mood, right? Because like Krishna kills the demons, like Sankarshan. You know, he's attractive. He's Madan Mohan. He performs all these wonderful activities. He's Gopinath, right? So he has all these four aspects. Is that something else? Yeah. You know, like, let's say, you know, Vamanadeva. You know, he's small, he's cute. That's what he does. Does that make sense? Yeah. The Virat Rup of Lord Krishna is also different from him by his inconceivable potency. So it means all of them are in him, but they're different from him at the same time. The Virat Rup exhibited on the battlefield at Kurukshetra is the material conception of his form. Therefore, it should be understood that when Lord Krishna was apparently killed by the bow and arrow of the hunter, the Lord left his so-called material body in the material world. So that was the universal form. He left the universal form. The Lord is Kaivalya, and for him there is no difference between matter and spirit, because everything is created from him. Right, so, yeah. Therefore, his quitting one sort of body or accepting another body does not mean that he is like the ordinary living being. All such activities are simultaneously one and different by his inconceivable potency. When Maharaj Yudhishthira was lamenting the possibility of his disappearance, it was just in pursuance of a custom of lamenting the disappearance of a great friend. But factually, the Lord never quits his transcendental body. as is misconceived by less intelligent persons. Right. So in other words, it's the loss of the association, not of the that the Lord is therefore gone.
Yeah.
Because you know the Lord's always there. It's just a matter when he manifests that you're able to personally associate, or when that's not possible. Right? Such less intelligent persons have been condemned by the Lord himself in Bhagavad Gita, and they are known as mudas. Fools deride me when I descend in the human form. They do not know my transcendental nature as the supreme Lord of all that be. Bhagavad Gita 9:11.
Being always present, and you know that Krishna is always present, so do other people have that quality to be always present? Like
your grandmother?
Yeah.
No.
The spiritual master, yes.
That's there. But the point is that, okay, what about the grandmother?
Okay. My grandmother's around.
No, that's my point.
Oh, okay.
The point is, okay, even if I want to use the mother, then the point is what is the motherness?
Krishna.
Is it that dead matter?
Yeah.
Do you understand?
Yeah.
So in other words, that motherness, we can access it, we think about it, but actually what we're remembering is that potency of Krishna, that Krishna's mother potency that happens to be in that particular, okay, you know,
form
of earth, water, fire, air, and ether. Right? Being more scientific, as opposed to you just buy the air. And you know what you're saying? Does that make sense? Okay, so what you're remembering is actually Krishna. Everybody is only looking for Krishna. Everybody is actually God conscious all the time. But they don't know who they are and who God is. That's the problem. Therefore, they suffer. You know what I'm saying? It's just like if somebody's looking for food, right? Let's say like the baby. They're looking for something to eat, right? So everything they catch goes in their mouth. Will they ever be satisfied? Why? Because they don't actually know their position, you know, foods, but they don't understand this, so they won't be happy. Does that make sense? So the same way is that the living entities, they are souls, so they always manifest qualities of the souls. But it becomes covered by the particular modes, so they manifest it in different ways. And they therefore look for Krishna in different ways. But so anything good that they're coming by is actually what is the quality of Krishna. And whatever bad they're coming is that lack of quality of Krishna. Does that make sense? So Krishna's always there, but the point is there's a difference between understanding Krishna on these platforms and understanding him as the person. The taste is different. Right. So in other words, this kind of perspective is good for breaking out of the material world, but if we're getting into the spiritual world, then it's got to be the taste is about Krishna. Right? Does that make sense? Yeah. That the Lord left his body means that he left again his plenary portions in the respective dhammas, transcendental abodes, as he left his virat rupa in the material world. Right? So when he comes, all these different plenary portions, then they merge into him. So when he leaves, they all go back. It's still he remains as the Supreme Personality of Godhead. It's just he's not performing that pastime, so he doesn't need to manifest that mood. So that mood remains manifest in this particular place. So the moods are always eternally manifest. Right? There's no loss. Does that make sense? It's just whether Krishna himself is doing or not. Yes.
First, I want to ask, is the Yoga Maya also cover Krishna?
Means his Yoga Maya covers him. Means Yoga Maya is the aspect of the, you know, Surup Shakti. So that full form of the Surup Shakti, that Yoga Maya, then can cover him. But it's with his desire.
You know what I'm saying? It's just like, let's say something, you want to forget something. Yeah. You know, we can't do that because Krishna's remembrance and forget. He controls that. But Krishna, since it's him, he can control, if he wants to forget, he forgets. You know what I'm saying? So it's his own arrangement, his own yogamaya. So therefore he forgets that he's from Mathura, or he forgets he's the Supreme Lord, and he's just a cowherd boy in Vrindavan.
So the yogamaya also is an expansion of Radharani?
Yes. He's yet the Sarup Shakti, so then his natural full form is Radharani. But yogamaya is also another aspect of that full form. Does that make sense? Right? And then as you come down, then. So that full form, then an expansion of her is the external potency. It's part, means the Srup Shakti is all the energy. So one of the energies is the material. So then she functions just dealing with that as Mahamaya. It's the same person. But the amount of potency you have to do to run it is very minimal. You know what I'm saying? It's like having to manage a mansion or manage like a doghouse or something, right? You know, it doesn't take a lot.
Is Krishna live in a material world, like a material body?
The universal form.
Yeah, this is.
I mean, the universal form is there, and so he just left that. You know, but he is his Swayam Rupa, that remains, because the Swayam Rupa contains all the others. So when he comes, all the others then merge into him. And when he leaves, they all go back to whatever their situation was. Does that make sense? Yeah. Because in Braj, you don't need that, because he doesn't have to manifest those moods. But let's say, when the demon comes into Vrindavan, then the mood, he kills them as Vasudeva Krishna, not as Braja Krishna. Because Braja Krishna, the mood is based on prema. So in reciprocation, so he takes on the mood of Vasudeva, and if you like that. Does that make sense? So like that. That's the meaning of this. As he's a unique entity. He's very different from us. Does that work? Yeah? A little loudly?
Yes. If when Krishna was there presently in the earth, it was no universal form? If you say that...
No, it means it's always there. Everything is there. But it's just he left that part, so then they think a body is here. Because universal form is made up of the manifestations of the material world. Like, you know, Indra and Vayu and... You know, all these different personalities. These are all his head and his art. Sun and moon are his eyes. Or so these aspects are left.
Plus this form.
No, but it's in that form. But it's the thing is it's made up of all those aspects. So that remains. Because all that is that's an expansion of his potencies. So it's not different from him, but that's the material form. Does that make sense?
The most complex problem for the layman.
Yes, that was the thing from the day before. Yeah, the one before, a complex problem for the layman. Right? Yeah. Yes. Oh, we'll be working with this for a while, don't worry. It's going to be brought up again and again. So it's a plenary portion, right? They went to their respective dhams, so there's the spiritual worlds, and the Virat Rupa stays in the material world. Because if the Virat Rupa doesn't stay here, how does it go on? This pillar is there because of the Virat Rupa. The potency of the Virat Roop to hold things up, that the concept of the pillar is Virat Roop. So if he went and took that potency with him, there wouldn't be any pillars anymore. Right? And hopefully he also took the ceiling potency with him also. Otherwise, if he left the ceiling potency, took the pillar potency, we had problems. Right? Yeah, and a little bit more serious than
Penny's problems, right? No? Okay. Krishna's disappearance after the conclusion of his mission on earth is described in Srimad Bhagavatam 11.6.21-31. Okay, Srimad Bhagavatam 11.6.21-31. Lord Brahma said, "My dear Lord, previously we requested you to remove the burden of the earth. O unlimited personality of Godhead, that request has certainly been fulfilled. My Lord, you have reestablished the principles of religion among pious men who are always firmly bound to the truth. You have also distributed your glories all over the world, and thus the whole world can be purified by hearing about you, descending into the dynasty of King Yadu. You have manifested your unique transcendental form for the benefit of the entire universe. You have executed magnanimous transcendental activities. My dear Lord, those pious and saintly persons who in the age of Kali hear about your transcendental activities and also glorify them will easily cross over the darkness of this age. O Supreme Personality of Godhead, O my Lord, you have descended into the Yadu dynasty and thus you have spent 125 autumns with your devotees. My dear Lord, there is nothing remaining at this time for your lordship to do on behalf of the demigods. This is a normal thing, is 100 autumns, right? So this is 125. So it's not that. My dear Lord, okay. My dear Lord, there is nothing remaining at this time for your lordship to do on behalf of the demigods. You have already withdrawn your dynasty by the curse of the Brahmanas. O Lord, you are the basis of everything, and if you so desire, kindly return now to your own abode in the spiritual world. At the same time, we humbly beg that you always protect us. We are your humble servants, and on your behalf, we are managing the universal situation. We, along with our planets and followers, require your constant protection." The Supreme Lord said, "O Lord of the demigods, Brahma, I understand your prayers and requests. Having removed the burden of the earth, I have executed everything that was requested on your behalf. That very Yadava dynasty in which I appeared became greatly magnified and opulent, especially in their physical strength and courage, to the extent that they threatened to devour the whole world. Therefore, I have stopped them, just as the shore holds back the great ocean. For if I were to leave this world without withdrawing the overly proud members of the Yadu dynasty, the whole world would be destroyed by the deluge of their unlimited expansion. Now, due to the Brahmana's curse, the annihilation of my family has already begun. O sinless Brahma, when this annihilation is finished and I am en route to Vaikuntha, I will pay a small visit to your abode."
Hello.
There you go.
Right, you know, I'm passing on the way through. Right?
"Due only to his causeless mercy, we achieve unrivaled royal opulence, good wives, control over our subjects, and victory over our enemies." Right? So this is the Lord's causeless mercy. They perform their duties, but it's by the Lord's grace that they're getting these benefits. Otherwise, these are things generally people will claim. Right? You know, it's that I got the opulence, you know, I picked the right girl, right? I'm in control of my subjects, like that. I have conquered my enemies. But no, it's by the Lord's grace that these things happen. Right? Yes?
So if these things don't happen, but you still perform your duty and they don't happen?
Then it just takes more time.
Does it mean that you don't deserve that to happen, or you will learn?
It's just like this. You mix all the stuff together, you put it in the baking tray, you put it into the oven, and then you have to wait. You know what I'm saying? Once the mom has put the cake into the oven, after how many seconds does the kid want to open the door to see if it's ready?
1.5
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. How long does it take?
An hour.
Yeah, like that. You know, so it takes longer. So that's the whole point. So you say, but it's not happening. It's just a matter of your time frame.
but for some people it happens straight away. So
no, that means that they've already done. They've already gone through what you've done.
Yeah. In the past life.
Yeah. Yeah. It's just like, let's say, someone is sitting down to dinner at 6 o'clock, and you're hungry, but you've just started cooking. You understand? You're going to eat later. So if they're eating at 6, that means they already cooked. Right? Not that they walked into the kitchen and walked out, you know, in 1 minute with a full meal, and you walk in there and have to spend, you know, an hour. Okay. Yeah. Why is it my noodles took 2 minutes? His only took one. Because he didn't wait for them to warm up. That's why. Yeah.
All done today.
Yes. Yeah. That makes sense. Yeah. So that's all. That means it takes the same amount of time. It's just someone's already done all that waiting before. They've put in the endeavor, and now it finally gets through. So it will happen. It's just when. You just have to wait. Makes sense. In his purport, Srila Prabhupada emphasizes that both material and spiritual success always depends on the mercy of the Lord. Material prosperity consists of a good wife, good home, sufficient land, good children, aristocratic family relations, victory over competitors, and, by pious work, attainment of accommodations in the higher celestial planets for better facilities and material amenities. These faculties are earned not only by one's hard manual labor or by unfair means, but by the mercy of the Supreme Lord. Prosperity earned by one's personal endeavor also depends on the mercy of the Lord. But you perform the activities you're supposed to, you get the benefit. You perform the activities without what's not proper, and you're getting benefit. It means you've done before. So the point is, you follow the rules of the Lord, you get the benefit. So it's still the mercy of the Lord. It's just whether it's personally being dealt with or just bureaucratically being dealt with. Or administratively being dealt with. That's all. It's just you've done the work, you don't care about the Lord, so then, because it's the Lord's law, then therefore Maya gives you the result. But it's still dependent upon the Lord, because that potency to make that work still comes from Him. Right? Because He is the field, He is the attraction, He is the endeavor, He is the result. Yes? No? Prosperity earned by one's personal endeavor also depends on the mercy of the Lord. Personal labor must be there in addition to the Lord's benediction. But without the Lord's benediction, no one is successful simply by personal labor. So if anybody's getting a benefit, it's because they've gotten the mercy of the Lord. Yes.
So then karma mimamsa, they miss the whole point.
Yes. Because their point is that I've done the work, I have to get the result. But they don't look at it, well, but who authorized that work gets that result? It wasn't that Jaimini was, you know, fishing around inside his, you know, bowl of Cheerios or something and found a little prize and it said, you know, benefits from pious activities or something. He started his whole philosophy, you know what I'm saying? You know, so the point is they're not thinking. They're just thinking, well, you know, God has to do it because I did the work. But the point is why does that work work? Why is there that work that will get you that result? You know, why is there such a thing as work at all? You know, where does it come from? So that whole thing and that authorization, that potency, that power, because it's not us, because we have to do that work. It's not us. So where did that come from? They're not catching. That's coming from the Lord. So the Lord is in control of that. So like you're saying, that's their weakness. They think it has to happen. But most people think like this. They went, you know, they went, they prayed, and then if it didn't happen, then, you know, what's going on? I made all that endeavor, you know. I spent that, you know, 30 seconds, you know, like in deep, you know, concentration on the Lord, you know. So why didn't I get this unlimited benefit?
We put the message, huh?
Yeah, that's one thing. Does God have a Twitter account?
That's an old system.
Just he didn't need a phone, right? The modernized man of Kali Yuga believes in personal endeavor and denies the benediction of the Supreme Lord. Even a great sannyasi of India delivered speeches in Chicago protesting the benedictions of the Supreme Lord. But as far as Vedic Shastras are concerned, as we find in the pages of the Srimad Bhagavatam, the ultimate sanction for all success rests in the hands of the Supreme Lord. Just interesting, just as a side point, just in connection with preaching, that this great sannyasi of India, in delivering his lectures, then, you know, he would be saying things that people of that time would have appreciated. Right? You know, speaking in ways that would have been politically correct at the time, would have been, you know, socially progressive, and, you know, on and on and on. All your adjectives and whatever you want to bring out to the closet and all this and that, you know, he perfectly did. Right? Because he's from India. He knows how to do these things. Right? So now, but how many people took up, you know, the, you know, Hinduism? How many became his followers? Right? Historically, one. He brought one lady back with him from America. That makes sense? So in other words, the system doesn't work. And if it didn't work for him, and he was a really good speaker, he was a really good orator. He could spin doctor anything to make it sound like it was spiritual. This guy was good. Right? They still worship him today. How do you say? I wouldn't be in a position to comment. How do you say? I think the term would be, you may think like that, but I wouldn't be. Yes. You understand? So why would we be able to do it? You know? So that's the whole point. It's not a great system. But as far as the Vedic Shastras are concerned, as we find in the pages of Srimad Bhagavatam, the ultimate sanction for all success rests in the hands of the Supreme Lord. Maharaj Yudhishthira admits this truth in his personal success, and it behooves one to follow in the footsteps of a great king and devotee of the Lord to make life a full success. Right? So full success means becoming fully Krishna conscious. But since we're here, we're performing our duties, you need facility for those duties, so then whatever comes, that's what you deal with. That will come by the grace of the Lord. Yudhishthira Maharaj, we can see, as soon as it comes up, it's not that, you know, oh, now this and that, oh yeah, but no, the Lord. And he doesn't have to go through all those steps. He just immediately gives that credit to the Lord. Due only to his causeless mercy. So therefore, he can use an empire in the Lord's service. If one could achieve success without the sanction of the Lord, then no medical practitioner would fail to cure a patient. Despite the most advanced treatment of a suffering patient by the most up-to-date medical practitioner, there is death. And even in the most hopeless case, without medical treatment, a patient is cured astonishingly. So these are things they can't deal with. So the mercy of the Lord is there. That's how it's happening. Otherwise, they always come out and, you know, that concerned kind of look, you know, we did everything like that, you know. But they did less than everything. The other guy's sitting in the next room and he got better without them doing anything. You know, so that's the whole point. It's all by the Lord's grace, whatever happens.
It happened with, I was reading an article in Dandavats, it happened with Bhakti Vijayendranandan Swami in Malaysia.
Oh.
He had this, he had this illness. He goes to the hospital and the doctor gets amazed and he comes out perfectly fine. the doctor said that he's no longer he'll be there. It's only a matter of days. He has to leave his body, but he comes out fine.
Yes. Yes. This is by the Lord's grace. Therefore, the conclusion is that God's sanction is the immediate cause for all happenings, good or bad. Any successful man should feel grateful to the Lord for all he has achieved. Maharaj Yudhishthira continued, "Now just see all the evil portents manifest in the world due to celestial influence. These indicate danger at the very near future." They only indicate, they're not creating it. It says portents, right? Due to celestial influence. That was the point from before. So the planets are doing that. They just give these portents for those who know how to read the signs. "The left side of my body is quivering. My heart is racing in fear. Look, the she-jackal vomits fire while howling at the rising sun." Right? It's like that. So we haven't had that problem yet. While you're walking in the path here for class and you see that one, not good. "Dogs fearlessly bark at me." Because normally they'd be respectful, right? Unless you're doing something of that. "Cows pass me on the left side instead of the right." The normal thing is they would just go on the right. Because the normal thing is you pass with people on your right side. That's the respectful way. So even the animals would do the same thing.
Should we note these things or just not worry about, like...
I mean, what will you do with noting them?
Well, just know that there's something bad happening.
No, it just means Kali Yuga's here. So if you see any of these, then you can confirm, just as Yudhishthira saw, and it was Kali Yuga, we're still seeing, so it must be still Kali Yuga. Yeah.
So you think of thought, and suddenly you think of thought, and you're like, wow, jackals just in the field right after you thought that, so should you... think that you thought something wrong?
No, it just means the jackals decided to, do their song, right? That's all. I mean, it depends. If it's not a good thing you're thinking, then you could take it that way. If it's a good thing, then they're chanting Gora. That's what they're doing. So. That's what Jagannanda Pandit. Yeah, that's the Jagannanda Pandit's point. They're all chanting Gauranga's name. He's all the animals in the Daimor. Just that they have their own, voice. So that's how it comes out. Maharaj Yudhishthira continued. Okay. Dogs come special. "Lower animals like asses circumambulate me. My horses appear to weep as soon as they see me. There is a pigeon that appears to be a messenger. Here is a pigeon that appears to be a messenger of death. The shrieking owls and their rivals, the crows, make my heart tremble. The sky is encircled by smoke. The earth and mountains appear to throb. Sounds of thunder vibrate in the clear sky, and lightning flashes across the blue. Clouds of dust raised by the blasting wind darken the whole world. Rain clouds pour blood upon the earth. The sun's rays seem diminished, and the stars seem to fight one another in the sky." Footnote 1. Astrologically, this means that the sun is very close to the other planets in the sky. This is not auspicious. "Living entities all around us are bewildered. They seem ablaze and weeping. Rivers, lakes, and the mind are all agitated, and butter no longer burns. What is this extraordinary time that has come upon us? Cows no longer give milk. They stand unmoving with tears in their eyes. Even the deities in the temple seem to be crying, perspiring, and about to depart. The cities, villages, and countryside appear to be devoid of beauty and happiness. I think that all these disturbances indicate some great loss to the world's good fortune. being marked by the footprints of Lord Krishna's lotus feet, the earth had become most fortunate. However, these inauspicious signs indicate that this will no longer be the case. Srila Prabhupada comments on the arrival of Kali Yuga in his purport to 1:15:36. The age of Kali ensued just after the battle of Kurukshetra, but it could not exert its influence because of the presence of the Lord. The Lord, however, left the earthly planet in his own transcendental body, and as soon as he left, the symptoms of Kali Yuga, as were envisioned by Maharaj Yudhishthira prior to Arjuna's arrival from Dwarka, began to manifest, and Maharaj Yudhishthira rightly conjectured on the departure of the Lord from the earth. So even though it was Kali Yuga, it wasn't manifesting as Kali Yuga, but as soon as he left, then the symptoms came out, and it had been some time, right? Because we saw that there was the battle, so right after the battle, then Kali Yuga came. And so then there was so much time there, then they, you know, met Bhishma Dev, they did all those yajnas, three Ashwamedha yajnas, Krishna stayed, then Krishna went back, and it took him, you know, so many months to get back. Arjuna went with him, so, you know, there were 7 months there. So much time has gone by, but, you know, so now suddenly all these symptoms come up. Okay, footnote 2. In Srimad Bhagavatam 11:31-7, it is stated, as soon as Lord Sri Krishna left this earth, truth, religion, faithfulness, glory, and beauty immediately followed him. In his purport to 1:14:3, Srila Prabhupada describes the remedial measures to counteract the influence of the age of Kali. Ignorance is the cause for all these anomalies in human society. And to remove this ignorance, especially in this age of degradation, the powerful sun is there to distribute light in the shape of Srimad Bhagavatam. So that's the position. Okay, then start with 22-44. Yeah. So it's ignorance. So then when we hear from Srimad Bhagavatam, ignorance goes away. Then we're able to appreciate the Lord. Because it means everything is there. They cause all the anomalies in society. So even the impersonal, it's an anomaly. The Maya Vatala is an anomaly. So because there's still ignorance, ignorance of the relationship with the Lord. They may have gotten rid of the general modes, you know, working under that, but that principle of not understanding who they are, self-realization is not complete. So all aspects are a problem. Yes? No?
Om Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Jai Prabhupada ki, Jai Samaveta Bhaktivedanta ki, Jai 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 Gaurav Premi.